Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie.
Yeah, I really don't have the singing in my heart, but I'll do it because it's only June, right?
Back in town. Look out, old Maggie is back.
I did that for you.
Chris McMichael.
I did it for you! Yes, sir! Yes, sir! 202 on the Fan. McMonagle here with you on this Thursday morning. We got Alex on the other side. We're taking your calls. 888-808-1019. I got you for 3 hours to the warm-up show. And we'll be with you in our misery for the next 3 hours as it is as ugly as it can get, as the Yankees drop their sixth consecutive game, the third straight against the Angels. At least they did score a couple of runs on a couple of solo home runs and had, what, 3 hits for the whole game? 3 hits in the entire game. I mean, just embarrassing. And then you get to the Mets as they're completely shut down by Chris Sale. The House of Horrors continues in Atlanta. They are 0-5 in their last five. We have a 5-game losing streak from the Mets on our hands, a 6-game losing streak from the Yankees, 0-11 between the two of them. We have not seen a victory since last Thursday. It's a week without a baseball victory. How is that possible? And the Mets, like, both teams playing just terrible, poor fundamentals. The whole bit, the stuff that's usually reserved for the Yankees, let's give it to the Mets as well. We saw all the outs on the base paths the other day. The disaster that was that game last night, yeah, shut down by Chris Sale. I'm not sure any of it really mattered. But you got Torrens, who they're asking to play because Alvarez has been so bad. He makes the big defensive gaffe the night before, throwing behind the runner. And he comes in, and he's awful. There are pass balls. He touches the ball with his face guard, his face mask, which is a catcher's balk, and allows a run in. And you knew, here's the thing about the Mets before we really get into the Yankees and what a ugly, hideous display of baseball we saw in the 8th inning and beyond. And we obviously have to have a conversation about Anthony Volpe. I know we always could have a conversation about Aaron Boone, but we have to have a conversation about Anthony Volpe here. But before we get to that ugliness, just the what we're seeing from the Mets and the ugliness that is typically reserved for the New York Yankees. And to see, like, when's the last time? Here's the thing about the Met game, too. Because if you go back all the way to last year around this time, 11 games under 500, the team meeting, and everything that's come with it since. OMG, Grimace, the playoff pumpkin, everything else between here and there, the incredible vibes around this team. When is the last time, and maybe, you know, I'm not a Met fan, so you tell me, maybe you felt this way. To me, it hasn't felt this way yet. But yesterday was the first time it felt like Acuña hits the home run to lead off the game, and the game is over. Game's over. That's what it felt like. It felt like from both these teams, but specifically the Mets in that situation where it was like Acuña gives up the home run, and it's over. And this Met team has been really good. This Met team, the offense has really struggled. They haven't scored any runs late in games. They've been bad. They haven't been able to overcome the dip in the pitching that they've encountered here over the last couple of games. Griffin Canning starting to come back to earth. Paul Blackburn, not very good after his one start against the Dodgers. Hasn't been good out of the bullpen. Wasn't very good in this game. We're seeing McGill, wasn't very good on the IL. Peterson, excellent. Even he contributes to the loss the other night with a leadoff walk in the eighth inning to the nine-hole hitter. But ultimately, it just, in Atlanta, against a team that was 13 games back, their biggest rival, and I know the rivalry thing has been a big story here, but this is the House of Horrors. This is the organization that has beat the Mets time and time again. And to go into this building as the clear-cut favorite in, you know, or, you know, the top of the division, clearly a better team, the Braves all the way back, and to come in and play probably the ugliest brand of baseball we have seen from the Mets in a while is kind of mind-numbing. And I know I'm not a Met fan, and I know that the Met fan, I was having this conversation with Fleegs about how it's still, there's a ton of Met fan. I made a comment about being jealous of the Mets because at least a loss can be a loss. Where it feels like, for me as a Yankee fan, a loss can't be a loss anymore. Every single loss is an indictment on why they haven't and will never win a World Series ever again. Where I'm almost a little jealous that the Mets can just have a bad loss. And that's it. And you move on from it. But he was getting on me because he's like, that's proof you don't have any Met fans in your life. And I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I know there's still Met fans out there, like Frank the Tank. He's the shining example of it. But are waiting for impending doom, waiting for the shoe to drop. It's still the Mets, right? I talked to a couple of Met fans who, even after the Juan Soto thing, was like, yeah, he'll probably suck because that's what happens with Mets. You know, but for the most part, the vibes around the Mets have been really good. And I can't remember, as a independent observer, as Evan Roberts likes to say, as a Yankee fan who openly doesn't hate the Met fan and doesn't hate the Mets, as I've watched this team, it's been few and far between in the last calendar year games that I have felt after the first pitch of the bottom of the first that the game was over. And that's what it felt like for me with the Mets. And to have that be the fifth game of a five-game losing streak, losing the series now in Atlanta with, you know, Strider, who's a pretty damn good pitcher on the mound tomorrow against Clay Holmes, who has pitched great, but is, you know, we'll see how he recovered from his last start. I haven't heard anything. Didn't recover great from the start before that in Colorado. They limited him to 85 pitches. I mean, they are right behind the Yankees, looking at a sixth loss dead in the face and a sweep by the hands of the Atlanta Braves. What the hell is going on? And now both teams are only, the Mets are a game up on Philadelphia. After jumping out to, what, a five-game lead just a week ago? They were down, like 2 weeks ago, they were down a game. A week ago, they picked up six and were up five. Now it's back down to only a one-game lead. And the Yankees, who had a seven-game lead over the Tampa Bay Rays, find it at 1.5, 2 in the loss column after another hideous, disgusting, despicable loss. And I'll tell you when I felt. And then you want to talk about the vibes? This is how bad I am. And I am as positive a Yankee fan as you will find. You can scour the tri-state area. Good luck finding another Yankee fan as positive as I've been with this group, with this manager, with Brian Cashman, and everything else. But I'll tell you when I felt like they were going to lose the game. And this is where they are. Because even their most passionate fans, I will tell you, when they made a huge deal after Bellinger hits the home run and the Yankees take their first lead in forever, right? It's the first lead in how long? Obviously, Jazz hits the home run. They finally get on the board after a first inning home run from Ryan Yarbrough. They get on the board. They tie the game. Jazz hits the home run. Bellinger gives them a 2-1 lead. And it's like, oh, we finally have a lead. Haven't had a lead since they won the game on Thursday. It's been how many innings without a lead, a lead, a lead. And then the first at bat of the next inning, boom, Adele hits a home run to tie the game at 2. And I felt like they're going to lose. They couldn't hold the lead for a batter. Not a single batter. They couldn't hold the lead for a second. And there was something about them, to me, the way the broadcast was talking about having a lead and then it evaporating on the first at bat of the top of the next inning. I was just like, this team is not, there is something going on with this team right now. There is. They are going through it. As bad as we have ever seen them go through it. I mean, we could talk about previous June swoons. To me, I don't get hung up on previous seasons. This team is different. It's a different team. It's completely a lot different. There are some players who are still here. Judge is still here. Anthony Volpe is still here. The manager is still here. But there are a lot of changes, and changes specifically designed to help with a lot of the problems that have occurred, specifically defense and base running, not so much the situational hitting that's absolutely killing them right now. But they have gotten better at a lot of things. This is a different team. I don't want to get hung up on going back over the last handful of years. You want to, you can call me at 888-808-1019. We can. Every team is different. This team right now, for the first 68 games, didn't show these type of mistakes that they showed in Fenway. And now the inability to score a damn run. They led the American League in sacrifice flies. The offense led the league in every freaking category you can lead a league in. I mean, they've been the best offense in the American League, bar none. They still have pretty much the best offense in the American League, despite being the most inept seven-game stretch we have seen in the franchise since 1968. So for me, you want to talk about how it's the June swoon? We can. But I like to look at every team individually. And this team right now is going through it as bad as we have seen any of these June swoons. Because they are incapable. I mean, even as they are struggling here, they should have won 3 of these games. Like, even as they've been terrible, they had every opportunity, at least 2 in this series. The first game in this series and last night, they had every damn opportunity to win these 2 games, and they just refuse. And I know I'm an Anthony Volpe defender, and I know I'm an Aaron Boone defender. That's not to say they're infallible. And certainly Aaron Boone, this is what, like, I thought he had a terrible game last night. I thought Aaron Boone had a terrible game last night.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I probably would have taken out Cruz in that eighth inning. And let's get to the eighth inning because that's really the crux of the game. Right? 2-2. Solo home runs. Ryan Yarbrough pitched fairly well. I mean, that's as much as you're going to get out of Ryan Yarbrough. And the one positive through this stretch, and the one thing that does make me feel better about moving forward, is we all know the offense isn't going to be this bad forever. And while they're this bad, the pitching staff has actually done a nice job. Clark Schmidt was excellent. Will Warren struck out a ton and was pretty damn good. Right, even the last game of the Red Sox series, Freed was ace-like. And last night, Ryan Yarbrough gives you 5 1/3 of 2 runs. Yes, you sign from that for your fifth starter every time out. He's been really good other than the one Red Sox game back in Yankee Stadium last week, 2 weeks ago now, whatever it was. Other than that, he's been great, and the pitching's been good. And that's the one positive about this. But the offense right now is so inept, and you get to that eighth inning, and Cruz walks two of the first three. I would have taking him out for Hill against Rengifo and not allowed him to walk that third hitter. I don't hate it necessarily because he strikes people out when he throws strikes. And you're looking for strikeouts with runners on base. And you don't expect him to throw 4 straight balls to walk his third batter of the inning. But he was so wild, I probably would have went to Hill a batter earlier. But having said that, Boone makes the move to go to Hill with the bases loaded, and he gets exactly what you want. He gets the ground ball for the easy double play, and Anthony Volpe, who I have defended, and I will still defend because there's going to be the crazies who want to call me and tell me he's absolute trash, he's the worst shortstop in all of baseball, he doesn't belong on the Major League roster, and all the other crap I'm going to hear. And that's why I was part, you know, I joke about being jealous of the Met fan. I'm jealous of the Met fan because a player can have a bad game sometimes, at least with this new regime that they love and respect. That's the difference. Nobody most Met fans, I would think, are at least favorable of Mendoza and love Stearns and love the owner. Where most Yankee fans are fed up with Brian Cashman to God knows no end. They're, you know, they don't think Hal does quite enough. Even if they like him, they still don't think Hal does quite enough. Some think he's a cheapskate. Some think he just doesn't do quite enough. Nobody really loves him. Everybody longs for the days of his father, which makes me laugh sometimes. But everybody can't stand Brian Cashman, and God knows we hate the manager. So every single loss, every single play, every single bad game from an Anthony Volpe or whomever, it's some sort of indictment on how poorly run they are and how it's they're guaranteed to never win when it's just a bad game and it's just a bad situation. And that's what was last night. And Anthony Volpe, without question, had as bad a game as you can possibly play. He did everything other than... I guess there was that one play where it was a hard, you know, bullet kind of up the middle and he turns it into a double play. It wasn't spectacular, but it was really good. Other than that, his at-bats were so bad. And his at-bats since the Red Sox series, this entire Angel series, have been so bad. And then even I, as a guy who will tell you he makes great plays, he's already won a gold glove, there is no doubt, and I don't even care so much about the 9 errors that lead Major League Baseball at shortstops. Obviously, that's a problem, and it's not good enough. It's the critical error. Compared to most of the fan base, I am an Anthony Volpe fan and defender. I think he's far better than people give him credit for. I think he's having a far better year than people give him credit for. But there is no doubt. There's no doubt anymore. In the biggest of moments. Now, in the postseason, he's played well. We'll save that conversation for a little bit later. But there is no doubt, in the biggest of moments, he is affected defensively. He lets the moment get to him. He always He lets the ball play him, which is what happened. Instead of being aggressive on that ground ball, he plays it back and waits for that second hop. To be fair, the hop probably does come up a little bit, but it's his fault for not attacking the baseball. He's got to make that play, bottom line. Bottom line. And we have seen it last year with Clay Holmes. And again, I defended Clay Holmes, and partly because I thought his defense let him down in a bunch of... He's a ground ball pitcher. He gets ground balls. Last night, you got the ground ball you needed with the bases loaded. Tim Hild comes in and does exactly what you need. He gets Adell to swing at a 2-0 sinker down in the zone and hit into a double play. The Yankees are on to the bottom of the eighth, still tied, if not for Anthony Volpe. And we have seen it time and time and time again in these critical moments, particularly late in games, you know, with the closer on the mound, Clay Holmes. He was terrible behind Clay Holmes. Terrible. Going back to the last game of the first half last year in Baltimore with just an atrocious error. We have seen it time and time again. I still think he's a good defensive shortstop, but in the critical moments, he has killed them. And he got thrown out trying to steal second base. What happened to his run game? Forget all the other stuff he was promised. We act like we were promised the next Derek Jeter. I don't remember Brian Cashman telling us the next Alex Rodriguez, Cal Ripken, Derek Jeter was coming up with Anthony Volpe, like people tell me. But I certainly was told that he was better than this. Offensively, I certainly was told he's excellent defensively, maybe some arm strength issues, and I was certainly told that he was an impact on the base paths. That's disappeared. He's not nearly good enough defensively and makes critical errors, and while he has made improvements offensively, to just be fair, he's got 80 points higher on his career OPS right now. He leads the team in doubles. He's on pace for 90 RBIs. He's having a far better offensive season. But when he's in a funk, he looks awful, and he can't hit the fastball. And that swing to end the game last night, Jansen just came in and pumped fastballs right by him. And if you look at that last swing, he's about 6 feet underneath it. And why on earth, with two strikes, with the game on the line, why on earth are you taking such a cut that you fall to your knees? Anthony Volpe was atrocious. And then that leads to the bottom of the eighth inning, which is another example of this team struggling, and right now they're in it bad. Because there have been times, I know you don't want to remember it, and that's why I'm here to remind you. Over the first 68 games, there were times they manufactured runs, and we talked about it, how they were better at it than previous Yankee teams. They did. They have better speed. They were better with runners on third base and less than two outs. They led the American League in sacrifice flies. I believe they still do with 27. They've been better at it. They're still not good enough. And right now they are in their own freaking heads and they are terrible at it, including the manager. Because I don't understand. People are going to be critical about how he handled the bullpen in the top of the eighth. I can live with that. I don't think it's terrible. I would have done it a little bit differently, but Cruz strikes people out. You got runners on base. I need a strikeout in that situation. Cruz strikes guys out. If he could throw strikes, he strikes guys out. So I don't hate. I put more of that on Cruz not being able to throw a strike than I do the manager letting him have that opportunity to get another strikeout. But that bottom of the eighth, you get the leadoff walk. You pinch hit Wells, he gets hit by a pitch. You got Grisham up on a guy who is extremely wild. The first bunt attempt damn near hits him in the chest. And I was screaming on my television, take one for the team, Grish! But then he can't lay down the first bunt. And then he gets the count to 2-1. And I have no idea why the manager takes off the bunt. To me, I understand the idea that Judge is going to get walked. I could even make an argument. I would have bunted. 100% I would have bunted, and I would have been critical if Boone didn't bunt. But you can make an argument in that case. Listen, they're going to pitch around Judge. If I'm putting the entire inning on Bellinger there, I'm going to set it up for a double play. I'm taking the bat out of the best player in the world. I don't care what kind of funk he's in. We all know Judge is the best hitter in the world. I don't love the bunt there. I don't want to bunt there. I don't want to bunt there. I don't know if, you know, Grisham could pop it up. We've seen the struggles with bunting anyway. They're playing the bunt very aggressively, and I don't want to take the bat out of Judge's hand. Bellinger puts one on the ground, we're out of the inning, like, or pops one up, which he did to third base. You know, I don't love the bunt there. I would have bunted, but I could understand that argument. But once you make the decision that the bunt is the play, once Boone decides that the bunt is the way he wants to go, there is, don't tell me they're playing it aggressively. Don't tell me he's been wild. It's a 2-1 count. You bunt until there's two strikes once you make the decision to bunt. He did this with Volpe. He did this with DJ LeMahieu the other day, and he did it again with Trent Grisham, and both times he got screwed, and it's a stupid decision. Stupid. Stupid. And it drove me nuts last night that he didn't bunt. And of course, listen, that doesn't mean Grisham's got to pop it up. If Grisham does it, if Grisham hits a hard ground ball in the hole between first and second because they're playing in, we're all pleased. But I still don't understand it. Once you make that decision to bunt, you have to follow through. And right now, they just don't know how to get that run in, and you can sense it. You feel it at home. I felt it at home. They are feeling it. They're wearing it on their sleeves. And this is where I differ with some. It's not about Boone being too lackadaisical. It's not about the idea that he doesn't hold players accountable. I'm telling, that is not why. That is not why these bats are gripped too tight. They're too concerned. They're pressing. And now you've got Carlos Rodon on the mound this afternoon. You cannot get swept at home by the Angels in a four-game set. You can't. I know they swept the Dodgers in L.A. I know the Yankees won all three games out in Anaheim when they played them earlier in the year. I don't care. You cannot get swept. This is a huge game for Carlos Rodon tomorrow. It's a huge game for the offense to wake the hell up. Judge, and that's another thing. I don't care too much about the post-game stuff. I really don't. I know what he's going to say. He's going to defend everybody. I mean, it's been 8 years. Aren't we used to it? The idea we still scream and yell about that drives me absolutely crazy. We know he's not going to knock his players. Like, we know it. Get over it. Knocking the players isn't going to do anything. It's his. He doesn't do it. But to hear him say Judge isn't in a slump, watch. He's missing pitches. There's just no way around it. Judge is in a funk. And right now, that's the crux of this whole thing. Because I think it's unfair to say the offense has been nothing but Judge. That's not fair. The offense has been a lot more than Judge. But what they haven't proved yet, and I said this yesterday, and it's furthermore today, they haven't proved yet that while when Judge slumps, they're not affected by it. And when Judge slumps, others can step up. When Judge is going well, the other guys chip in. It's not all Judge. They've been doing a really nice job, a lot of these hitters. But last year, pretty much the last 4 years since 22, when Judge slumps, nobody steps up. We've got two losing streaks on our hands with the Mets and the Yankees. We've got two really bad baseball. I mean, they're playing bad baseball. The Mets are playing ugly, bad, sloppy, wild pitches. When's the last time you... I didn't even know that was called a catcher's balk. That's crazy. The hell's going on with our two teams? And now the divisions are within one game. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Quick break. We'll come back, break it all down, get into the different situations. We have to have a talk, a deep talk about Anthony Volpe, because I will defend him to a level, but I really don't want to because I'm pissed at him right now, and he had a miserable game. And that final at bat, that final swing, from the swing, even though I had no problem with him swinging at the first pitch on the bases loaded in the first game of this series, the type of swing he took on that swing, the type of swing he took last night, the defense he's been playing, the non-impact on the base paths. Anthony Volpe is having one hell of a couple of days here, and he's killing the team.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Add WFAN to your contest to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, I feel better. I feel better that I yelled about it. I needed to get off my chest because that was, I mean, just awful. Awful. These two, the middle game of these three bothered me less than the other two. I was less angry yesterday than I am today, and I was after the first game. Because they just got, even though the game was close, they got completely shut down. And that sucks, and I'm not happy about it. But like in games like that, they had terrible swings. It was awful. The offense is still in the funk and all that, but like they got completely shut down. And I don't, you know, like, I know, I said something just like, sort of flippantly talking, yeah. Like, that's the other things, too. Like, when you see these, when you see WFAN put out a comment that I said, you gotta understand, I talk a lot. And sometimes I'm just, like, going through things. It's not necessarily that this is, like, the big point I'm trying to make. And they, like, I just casually said, like, it's almost, the offense has been so bad. So bad, so historically bad, that in some ways it's easier to like dismiss because it's like, they're not going to be this bad. Like if it was five games of a couple runs, but more like games like last night where they can't figure out a way to score. Like they were shut down by Boston. They were shut down the other night by the Angels. But games that they have an opportunity and can't figure out a way to get a run home, can't figure out a way to get down a bunt, can't figure out a way to, those are the frustrating ones. The ones where they just don't get a hit and they strike out 15, 20 times, it's like, okay, they haven't been that all year. They've been much better at that all year. I kind of can toss that. And this has been so bad that it's easier a little bit to kind of just say, well, it's not going to be like this forever. You know they're going to get better. You know they're going to come back. But like some of these issues are just, they drive you crazy in the game, in the moment. And, you know, this was, I mean, Anthony Volpe just killed them. And then Judge is killing them. There's no two ways around it. It's okay to say that. I feel like people... Like half the fan base, the minute he slumps is ready to go right back to his postseason struggles and get on him. And then the other half of fan base, like the second you say anything, they're like, well, he's the greatest hitter in the world. How could you probably, what about this guy and that guy? Are you going to say something about Judge? I'm like, listen, I love Judge. I defend Judge constantly against, you know, crazy people like Brett in Long Island, who constantly bring up his postseason and it means he's not any good. And, it's, you know, he can't hit good pitching and all that crap. I fight against that all the time. But it doesn't change the fact that right now in this six-game losing streak, he's not helping him. It's okay to say that. I'm not blaming him. I'm not saying it's all his fault. I'm just saying a couple of his normal at-bats, and they have a win or two here. But let's get to the call, see how you guys feel about it. Frustrating for both teams, and the Mets have been really, really sloppy. Like, I know they got shut down by Chris Sale, and you can live with it, right? You get shut down by a great pitcher. It happens. He's having another great year. He's rejuvenated his career in Atlanta, Cy Young, Triple Crown last year. Now he's, you know, having another great year. They came out and said they're not going to move him. Like, he's had a great job. He got shut down by a great pitcher. That happens. But they're kicking the ball around. They're giving runs away on wild pitches. They're giving runs away on, you know, catcher balks, because he tries to corral the baseball with his face mask. Like, those are mistakes that cannot happen. And I guess it's just Mendy ball. But nobody will say that. Nobody will blame another manager for mistakes on the field. Mental gag, those are just, you know, Soto's playing the field. That's on Soto. Pete Alonso getting, you know, doubled off of first on a line drive to the shortstop, that's on Pete Alonso. Torrens touching the ball with his face mask, that's on Torrens. But, you know, Soto getting picked off, trying to steal first, trying to steal second base and getting picked off early in the game, that's on Soto. But Ben Rice gets picked off. God damn it, that Boone. I just grow tiresome of it, that's all. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Jerry in Scotch Plains. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, what's Chris? I love you, man.
Thank you, buddy.
I think you do a great job, but I really want to talk about, what about George Lombard Jr.?
What
do
about
you
him?
See this guy?
Have he, you seen this guy?
I have. I actually took my daughter to a game over at the Somerset Patriots. He is a beast. He is. Listen,
he's having a down offensive year.
Exactly.
You want to? He's having a down. He just made a great defensive play. I saw the highlight they just put out. Hopefully he's going to be a stud. Hopefully he's going to be their next best thing. Right now he's a below average double A hitter at the moment. I'm not saying I'm done with him or that he's not going to be great. I'm just saying in the minute. You want to bring him up and put him as the shortstop of the New York Yankees when he's struggling to hit double A?
I'm not saying that. You just have to look at a person, right? You have to look at a person and see, oh my God, this guy is a beast. Like, physically, he is huge, and he can throw the ball.
He's got all the tools. He's got great arm strength. He's a very good defensive shortstop. And we saw his power in spring. People are very happy, excited about him. But, I mean, unless you're just bringing him up to say, hey, he's a good... I mean, it says here you want to talk about Anthony Volpe. I'm assuming when you bring him up, you're talking about supplanting Anthony Volpe with him.
A little bit. But I'm not saying... I'm not saying that Anthony Volpe is not going to be, like, beautiful at shortstop. I'm just saying, like, give this guy, like, an idea, like, this is what a prototypical shortstop should look like. Big, physical, throws the ball like a beast. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that, you know, it's very simple. Like, you could look at somebody and be like, okay, that guy is...
I get it, but they just had a miserable loss there in a six-game losing streak, and you're talking about a prospect who's not coming. Like, I appreciate what you're saying, Jerry, but what, like, to the point of tonight or what's going on with the Yankees right now,
if your point is bring up Lombard now,
then we can have a discussion.
Ball, 6 inches.
Yes.
I watched Anthony Volpe swinging a ball tonight 6 inches below where the ball was.
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
No, it was
like, what was that?
I don't know. And he fell to his knee. It's a terrible swing. It's a terrible swing. He's behind it, he's under it, and he fell to his knee. He looked like John Goodman in The Babe. This is what, and I'm hoping that we can keep it reasonable because I don't want to defend Anthony Volpe right now. I'm pissed at him. But, like, and a lot of his game's not good enough, of course. I'm not, like, he's nowhere near what we hoped or, you know, again, I hear this all the time about how the Yankees build up the prospects and so you expect them to be great. He was the sixth best prospect in all of baseball. The Yankees didn't dictate that. The Yankees didn't call him that. The Major League Baseball did. He was ranked just like Alvarez. It wasn't the Mets necessarily hyping up Alvarez and now, oh, another hyped up Met prospect who's struggling with two home runs and a 600 OPS. No, he was ranked by Major League Baseball as the best overall prospect in the entire minor league system. He was the best. Anthony Volpe was, I think, at his highest, was the sixth. That's pretty damn good. And you expect, just based on that, and plus he won the job in spring training, and we were all clamoring for it. That's not Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone telling you this guy's great, we're going to bring him up. We all said that. We all said, hey, we don't have a shortstop. They're going to have an open competition. He won it. Let's give it to him. We all said that. The idea that the Yankees have propped him up as the next Alex Rodriguez or Cal Ripken or Nomar Garciaparra, like, no, he didn't. He was ranked the sixth best prospect. He was their top prospect in their farm system, and they allowed him to win the job in spring training and then gave it to him, and they have given it to him. That's absolutely fair because people are critical about how much they played him. They have said it and forget it. Remember that old infomercial that was always on late at night, the oven? Said it and forget it. That's exactly what they've done with Anthony Volpe. They put him at second, that shortstop, and they have said it and forget it. He is not what we hoped he would be. He is not a star. I'm at the point where I'm kind of ready to say he'll never be a star. I don't think he's going to be that good. I don't think he's ever going to be a Bobby Witt Jr. I don't think he's going to be a guy in the middle of your lineup or at the top of your lineup that's a stud and that you can count on having a big-time season and above 800 OPS season, like a legitimate all-star. I don't think he's going to be that guy. But that doesn't mean he can't be a useful player. And it doesn't mean he's not improving this season. Again, his OPS is 80 points higher than it was last year. 80. He leads the Yankees in doubles. He's on pace for 40 doubles, 90 RBIs, and a 4 WAR. If he does that for the next couple of years and hits free agency, he's going to get paid. You get about $8 million per WAR. So, I mean, I'm just saying. I'm pissed at him. He's been brutal in the stretch. He's not doing the things I thought he'd be really good at. He's not doing them well at all. He's not stealing bases. He's not making an impact. He's not getting on base enough. His on-base percentage is too low. I am not happy with him. I'm not dancing that Anthony Volpe is the starting shortstop for the New York Yankees. In fact, tonight I'm lamenting it because I'm pissed. But I just take a second before we say he's an absolute bust and a washout and he needs to be off the team. Like, just take a second. He's going through it right now. The entire team is. The entire team is. But it was ugly last night. And he gets beat on high velocity, especially up in the zone. Just true. Can't hit it. And that swing last night was atrocious. But when he's going up until, like, he was the best hitter in the Red Sox series. I know that's crazy to say because he got on base four times. But he was on, I believe he was on base four times in the three-game set. Two hits, two walks. That's better than anybody else did that entire series. He was their best hitter in the sweep of the Boston Red Sox series. Like, and he was good for like a month prior to that. I'm pissed at him today, but we go too far. Go too far. James in Manhattan. What's up, James?
Hey, how you doing? Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine, buddy. What's up?
Yeah, I'm agreeing with pretty much everything that you're saying. I mean, you know, listen, the young man, I can call him a young, much older, but, you know, I think there's too much pressure on this young fellow. Listen, he's not going to be Acuna or Mookie Betts or
right.
Jeter, Ernie Banks, Ozzie Smith. Not that.
No, he's not.
Not that player. No. But you know who
he's
he
not
is?
Gunnar Henderson. Like, he's just not.
He's like a Mark Belanger from years ago with the Orioles.
Yeah.
A Bucky Dent.
No, listen, Bucky. How Bill about a David Russell? Eckstein? I've seen teams win championships with David Eckstein as shortstop.
What I'm
like you don't. And let's not forget, because all we care about is the postseason around here. All we care about is how players perform in the postseason. And I'm sorry, James. I got to let you go. I apologize, James. If you can try and call back, if you like, but there was just too much sound when I spoke. Like, all we care about is the postseason. Go look at how he played last year in the postseason. Go look at how he played in the postseason. He had an 800 OPS. He had arguably the biggest hit of the ALCS in game four. I think it was game four or game five. I think it was game four when he has the base hit off of their closer up the middle that leads to the runs. Like, that base hit was as big a hit as the entire postseason, and he hit the defining hit of the one game they won in the World Series with the Grand Slam. Like, he played well in the postseason last year. You can't deny it. So if he is a 760 OPS hitter who drives in 80 runs from the shortstop position, which is what he's on pace for, hits 40 doubles, tightens up his defense a little bit, and then plays well in the postseason, that's the Yankee starting shortstop for the next 10 years. It doesn't have to be a great player. They could put money elsewhere. They can do other things. You can win with that kind of shortstop, but he's got to be better defensively in the biggest moments. That's numero uno. Numero uno is, in crunch time, he's got to be either less afraid, less reactionary. He's got to be more aggressive. That's his biggest problem right now. The defense in the key situations has been brutal. Steve in Rockland, what's up, Steve?
Hey, Chris, you know, you said something, and when you're talking about Yankee fans that are between, like, 29 and 35 years old,
mm-hmm.
and when you're talking about what you expect the shortstop, someone who's playing the shortstop position to be,
mm-hmm.
we all know who we're talking about here. And, as you know, when it comes to shortstop and closer on the Yankees,
yeah.
the shadow of Derek Jeter and Mariano Rivera is it casts very, very long over the players
mm-hmm.
that are, you know, there. So that's, I'm not saying that, you know,
I know, but that's a long time ago. It's not like he's the shortstop that's replacing Derek Jeter. They had Didier Gregorius, then they went to Gleyber Torres, then they went to IKF. Like, he's like the
right.
fourth shortstop who's replaced Derek
yes,
Jeter.
Yes, yes, but it's like Yankee fans, what Derek, you know.
Right.
It's like.
Grew up a Yankee fan, you know, young kid, came up, big time prospect, drafted.
Right.
Yeah, so I can see there were some correlations to, is he the next Jeter?
But here's. And they kind of touted him a bit.
Oh, of course.
Times.
Yeah, yeah.
You did hear that name. But here's
what
I want to say.
He was the sixth best prospect in all of baseball. I'm not saying they didn't tout him.
Yes,
I'm just saying people talk as if the Yankees and Brian Cashman called him the next coming. Like, I don't remember Volpe is going to be the next great player in baseball. Like, we might have said that, and we all wanted him to get the job, but I don't remember them going that. They
passed
up on signing other shortstops to keep him. That's fair.
But here's another thing, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that ball bouncing to him on that play, he's probably made that play 998 times out of 1,000
mm-hmm.
since he was like in Little League. you know. And I just and when I look at him, it's you know, it's not from lack of trying. Would you agree with that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. No.
All right.
It's not and thank you, Steve. It's not an effort thing. I don't think anybody would think it's an effort thing. I think he works his ass off. I just think he's not as good as we hoped he would be, and it's not necessarily even the pressure of being Derek Jeter or replacing Derek Jeter or just playing shortstop for the New York Yankees. It's a little bit of that, but it's the pressure of being a top prospect. It's the pressure of being a kid who hardly played AAA, and they decided to pick him as the guy to put in this lineup. He won that position. They gave it to him. They've given him shortstop, completely just given it to him. He hasn't had to play well. And I said going into the year, he's got to be better offensively or he's not the starting shortstop next year. I said that. Put out the whole thing. I did like a big thing on it right as the baseball season was starting. Anthony Volpe has to have a better offensive season. If he has an OPS under 700 again, I'm not going into next year with him guaranteed the shortstop job. I'm either replacing him just outright or I am setting up a competition again in spring training. I am not just giving him shortstop next year if he has another OPS under 7. But he doesn't. He picked up his OPS 80 points. Right? He's been better offensively. It's just a fact. Now, we'll see if he ends the season with an below 700 OPS. If this now continues and we never see the player we did for the last month ever again this year and he ends with a 680 OPS, then I'm going to stand by my word and tell you they need another shortstop going into the season next year. But I just think, like, we're not giving him any credit for him getting a little bit better. But that doesn't change the fact he was brutal last night. I want to make sure that's perfectly clear. I'm not intending on defending him. I just think people go too far. But you can't be worse. He's got to be better. He's got to be better. And I'll tell you right now, I want him stealing more bases and being more successful at stealing bases. Now he's been thrown out the last two times he's tried. Like, this was supposed to be a guy from the minor leagues. He worked on this, like, you know, walking lead into the steal thing that he showed us in spring training as he came up and was impactful early on. He's not stealing bases. He's not getting on base. He's making errors at the wrong time, and he's a streaky hitter. I mean, a completely imperfect player that I am not particularly thrilled with at the moment. But, you know, the first call of the show wants to supplant him with George Lombard. I'm very excited about Lombard. Right? We'll see. With one hand, you tell me, oh, man, we always hype up our prospects. On the other hand, let's bring in the 19-year-old prospect. Like, let's take it. The guy's not even hitting. He's not even hitting that well in Double-A. Let him get used to Double-A. Now is not the time to bring him up at 19 years old and thrust, especially now. Here, come save the season. We've lost 6 in a row. Please, come play shortstop for us. We're desperate. That's what I want to do to a 19-year-old kid. Hugh in Pauling, New York, was at the game last night. Good for you, Pugh.
Hey, Hugh. Chris, how's it going? Good to talk to you, Dan.
Good to talk to you.
Yeah, I don't. It was just one of those, I don't know, it was like one of the lifeless, boringest baseball games I've been to since I've been going to games. It was just no juice at all, it felt like, at all. And then, you know, like I said, I know you're talking about the Volpe stuff and everything, rightfully so. Mm-hmm. You know, my thing on him is like, you know, like you said too, the thing is that he has a, you know, his career on base percentage is like .292 yep. with a .673 OPS.
Yep.
It's like even when he's so streaky that even when he gets on base, he's not stealing. And then when he does steal, he's only 8-for-14 this year. With
terrible. The base stealing is terrible.
Yeah. And the thing what I feel like with him, not to pile on him or anything, because I did want to talk about some other stuff, but he just, you know, like, even like tonight, like, even though he does make the error, like, he makes the boots the error, but then he doesn't even make sure of getting one at least there. So, like, he panicked in the moment and missed it again.
Yeah, he panicked in the moment.
So, like, he was going to make sure of getting one. And, like, it's like you could live with the hitting wise because if he was playing, like, really good defense, but, like, right now he's not doing either. So, like,
well, again,
and the thing is, what you said.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't think he's bad defensively. I mean, call me crazy. I think he makes critical bad errors. There's no doubt. Too many errors. 9 is too many. But I mean, did you see the Royals series? Did you see some of the, like, he makes great plays. He covers a lot of ground. He makes great plays. He's making errors and particularly at critical times. So I'm not going to say he's a very good defender. I think that the errors jump out at you, and a couple of key errors in big spots, and you say he's bad. Over the course of the season, I watch every game. I don't think he's a bad defender. I really don't. I think he's a good defender. He hasn't been the gold glove defender he was. He's regressed a little bit, I suppose, and the errors certainly are way too many. I'm not defending them. I'm just saying I watch him over the course of the season. He does make critical errors, but a lot of we don't remember the great plays. We don't care about the great plays. Like, this is my point about Yankee fans. We don't remember anything good. We only remember the bad. We don't talk about any of the good. The Yankees had the best record in baseball for a month. Nobody gives a damn because they lost five in a row, six in a row. No one cares that they were the best team in the month of May. And, you know, for they won 9 of 10 series. They had the best record in baseball for a month. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Mm-hmm. We only care about the losses. And that's why I just think, that's like part of the stuff. But, Ed, before I let you go to the top, what else did you want to get into?
Yeah. No, I just was saying, like, about, like, you know, how bad, you know, a week of baseball can be. Like, it is, you know, it's kind of crazy. And just the, you know, it's like with the Judge stuff, too. And I'm with you on that. Like, they should have kept a bunt on with Grisham. Even if they did walk Judge there, you have Bellinger up facing a righty because they didn't have a lefty to come into the game. So you could have, you know, it was, you know, I know you're taking his bat away, but it was loaded the bases. But once you put the bunt on, like you said, too, like, you keep 100%. It on until two strikes.
100%.
Like, you know, and I honestly feel like...
Good.
Sorry, I honestly feel like, in a way, like, you're starting to see, like, some, like, not just, like, the holes, but even, like, the depth situation. Like, I feel like the Cabrera injury is, like, starting to kind of, like, show a little bit of, like, how versatile he was.
A little bit, and thank you for the call. Peraza stinks, so, yeah, I hear you on that. The depth is... I think the depth is pretty good right now. And again, to defend Boone a little bit, although I'm not too thrilled with him at the moment, because I agree with you. Once you decide to put the bunt on, keep it on. Don't tell me, oh, well, they're playing it really aggressive. They bunt the ball. But he's right now juggling a lineup. It's tough. Every night, someone who deserves to be a player on this team is going to sit. And it could be MVPs, and not a word, not a single word. We have other teams, all these problems, you know, people. We clearly have players who are unhappy over the last year or two with San Diego, obviously Boston, a bunch of different places. He's juggling all these players, giving playing time, taking playing time away, not a peep. You don't hear a single word of discontent from any Yankee. It's not as easy as we think. We don't care about the good stuff. And we don't give them credit for the good stuff. It's only the best.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1.
Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.